asked to sing, I guess, a couple of weeks ago, and just now getting around to it. But this song, I thought about this song. I thought about a lot of times why that Jesus did what he did for us. He went to the cross. And I think his song answers it. Just three words: love is why. And if y'all help me out, that would be good. He never said I'd have silver or gold, yet he has promised me riches untold. He never suffered a life without care, yet he relieves every burden I bear. Sin stained the cross with the blood of my Lord, yet he permitted it without a word. Why, tell me why he redeemed you and me. Love is why you and I are free. I was astray, full of sin with its shame. There was no peace within. I was to blame, though undeserving, my life so defiled. Now to my God I have been reconciled. Sin stained the cross with the blood of my Lord, yet he permitted it without a word. Why, tell me why he redeemed you and me. And love is why you and I are free. Though I have none of this world's precious goods, yet I'm an heir to heaven affords. Though I may never achieve earthly fame, yet all of heaven can call me by name. And sin stained the cross with the blood of my Lord, yet he permitted it without a word. Why, tell me why he redeemed you and me. Love is why you and I are free.
Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that we shall be like him. John said, we'll see him as he is. Bless you, Brother Ronnie. Appreciate the beautiful song. I want to share some scripture with you this morning from Jude. I'm going to read from the first chapter, the last chapter, and the only chapter of the book of Jude. And I want to read a very short scripture reading. I know that most Baptist people are happy when the preacher says he's going to do anything short. But remember, I just said a short reading lesson. But I do want to read a few verses beginning with the very first verse of Jude. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to stop reading with those first four verses of the book of Jude for a scripture reading today. I have several other scriptures that I want to reference as we go through this message today. Again, I do ask a great interest in your prayers. The Lord moved upon my heart, gave me this thought, impressed this upon my heart, and I want to bring before you a message today entitled, The Common Salvation. I want you to think along those lines with me, if you will, for a little while today about the common salvation that Jude was writing about. I want you to notice that he wrote it to, when he wrote this, he addressed this to a certain group of people. He was speaking to a certain class of people. And we find that he said that he wrote it to the beloved. He was writing this to his those that had a kindred spirit with him. That's who he was speaking to. I want to go back. You know, it seems like that almost every time that I come here and sit in the Sunday school lesson upstairs here, it seems like that almost every time that the Lord will direct Brother Wheat into making some type of statement that has something to do with the thoughts that I have on my heart. And I love that. I'm thankful for that. You know, nobody can orchestrate things the way that God can. Nobody can put things together the way that the Lord can. And this morning, there were a couple of questions, really all contained within one question, but Brother Weed addressed the class this morning. And he said, have you met people that you seem to have a sudden connection with? I'm talking about a spiritual connection. Have you met people that you seem to have a sudden connection that you had a kindred spirit with? And I want you to think about those questions and that thought as we go through the message today. Now, I want to say first of all that I know that we have different ways that we use the same word. That's true. That was true in the Greek language. That was true in the Hebrew language. It's true in the English language. We have different definitions oftentimes for the same word. And I want you to understand that when Jude wrote about the common salvation, that he wasn't talking about something plain. You know, oftentimes we may, just for an example, just to use anything, it may be a wrench. And you may, you know, show somebody a wrench and they may say, well, that's just your common everyday 9/16 wrench. You know, something that's plain. And that wasn't at all what Job meant by the word common. Because I promise you today that there's nothing common in that way about salvation. There's nothing ordinary. The word common in that way is often used towards something that's ordinary. But there's nothing ordinary about God's salvation. I don't even know that extraordinary really would be a word proper of describing it. I guess phenomenal would be the one that I would think of most, that it's just, salvation is just something phenomenal. And so he wasn't talking about something plain or something ordinary when he spoke about the common salvation. The word that, the Greek word that common was taken from here was a word that implied a sharing, that something that all shared. And that's the way that it was being used in these verses. Beloved, speaking to the saints, speaking to those whom with Jude had this kindred spirit with. Beloved, when I gave diligence to write of the common salvation, he was talking about something that they had in common one with another. I'm glad today that I have people that I have something in common with spiritually. There are a lot of ways that we can have things in common with people from a natural point of view. But I'm thankful most of all today that from a spiritual point of view, that there are people that I have something great in common with. I'm thankful for this common salvation. If you really stop and think about it, how wonderful that it is that God only made one way of salvation. What a blessing that it is that everybody that truly knows the Lord has the same exact thing. It would be very difficult for anybody on the earth to relate to each other spiritually if we all had something different. But we don't. We have something that we can relate to one another about. And I want to use a couple of more verses, read a couple of more verses that speak about this same thing in Titus 1 and 4. You find there that when Paul wrote this epistle to Titus, that he addressed him in this way. He said, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. In the writings of the Apostle Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, we find when Peter wrote this epistle, he said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So the Apostle Peter there, though he used a little bit different wording, he was speaking about the exact same thing that Jude was speaking about. When Jude spoke about it, he said that he gave diligence to write unto them of the common salvation. The Apostle Peter called it the like precious faith. Both of them, those terms were synonymous with each other. They meant essentially the same thing, that they were addressing people that they knew had experienced exactly the same thing that they had experienced. That like precious faith. What a great gift that it truly is, not only to have it yourself, not only to be saved. And I know that all of us as individuals, certainly we are thankful for our own relationship with the Lord. I'm thankful for what happened to me in the summer of 1973 when, as an 18-year-old boy, I came to know the Lord in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. But you know what? I'm thankful for every testimony from every person that I have ever heard that has been able to relate to me that they too know the Lord. I'm thankful that we have something in common. I'm glad that there are people in this world, Brother Wheat, that my soul can connect with. I'm glad that we have that kindred spirit. What a great fellowship that we truly have. I want you to think with me. I've got several scriptures here I want to reference this morning. I want you to think about what we read in the 18th chapter of 1 Samuel concerning two men named David and Jonathan that lived long ago. The Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 18 and 1 that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. I want you to remember that and keep that in mind, if you would, as we go on in the message today, that the Bible spoke about these two men that lived long ago, that their souls were knit together. I believe the Lord was the one that did the knitting. The Lord was the one that put them together. The Lord was the one that gave them such a wonderful love between each other that it was like their two souls were like one soul. They were knit that closely together. You know, friends, I'll tell you, that's the way that the Lord would have His people be today. That's the way that the Lord would have any church be today, that our souls would be knit together, that it would be that we would be so closely knit together that it would be as if we had one collective soul. That we would be knit together to the point the Bible says that when one of us suffer, that we all suffer together. That when one of us are honored, that we all honor together. That's the type of relationship that the Lord would have to exist among His people. And of course, that's only possible through Him, isn't it? Let's go back for just a moment to what the Apostle Peter wrote. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. How? How did they do that? How was Peter able to say that they had obtained like precious faith, the same thing that he had? Well, he went on and he told us that it was through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He has made, He has knit us together by His blood and by His love, and in that we can be one. We can be one. He wants us to be one just like Him and His Father were one. And so you remember that David and Jonathan's souls were knit together in that way. The Apostle Paul used that same language many years later when he wrote his letter to the Colossians. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, he said, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledging of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ." Now, when somebody takes the needles, when somebody literally knits, when they take the needles, they sit down and they have the yarn or the thread or whatever it is. I'll be honest with you, I don't do a whole lot of knitting. But I think it's yarn or something that they use. That's the material that they use to knit something. But listen, that which is used to knit our hearts together is the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the song that we heard this morning is so true. That is why you and I today are free. That is why we feel what we feel today. That is why we have experienced what we have experienced today, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So our hearts are not knit together by a filial type of love, being a human love. Our hearts are knit together by the agape love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being knit together in love is what Paul wrote there to the Colossians. We ought to love each other, the Apostle Peter also said, with a pure heart, fervently. And let the love of Christ rule and reign among us and in our lives. I want to go a little bit further. I want us to consider a verse of scripture from the third chapter of the Gospel of John, verse 8. Something that Jesus said during that conversation that he had with Nicodemus, when he told Nicodemus, he said, "You must be born again." He goes on in that conversation in John chapter 3, verse 8. Jesus said, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth." And what did he say? So are some that are born of the Spirit? Or there are a few that this happens to? No. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." Everyone that is born of the Spirit experiences this same exact thing. I'm going to make this statement today. I believe that that verse and that verse alone there, if we use no other, that verse there from John chapter 3, verse 8, would be sufficient to prove it, but there are many other verses that do exactly the same thing. But I want to make this statement today. Friends, everybody that has truly been saved by the grace of God has had a spiritual experience with the Lord down in their soul. Everybody. That's exactly what Jesus said. The wind blows where it will, and you hear the sound. You don't know where it came from. You don't know where it's going. And he said, so is everyone that's born of the Spirit. There are people in the world today, and there have been people in the world for many years that want to believe that there's one way that's right for you, and there might be another way that's right for them. But I'll tell you what, friends, that will not stand up in the light of God's word. Everybody that has been saved from the time of Adam down to this present time, everybody that has come to know the Lord has come to know the exact same thing. Everybody has had that spiritual experience with him. And if you haven't had it, you need it, because that's the only thing that in the day that we stand before God and give an account unto him. And in the day of our death, in our dying day, I mean, friends, we're all going to breathe our last breath one of these days. We're all going to live our last day on the earth one of these days. And in that hour when we are about to step out of time into eternity, if you haven't had that spiritual experience of salvation with the Lord, you're in big trouble. You're in big trouble. You've got big problems if you haven't had that. Because that's the only way that he's going to justify anybody. He's going to have to see the blood of his son on the soul of that individual, isn't he? So, I concede and I believe that there have been people through the lack of teaching through the years, I believe there have been people that have been saved, and when it happened, they didn't have a full understanding of what had really happened. I concede that. I believe that's true. But nevertheless, they had something happen to them, didn't they? They had something spiritual happen. They know that something happened. They may have had to get around the people of God. They may have had to heard some teaching through the years to really understand what had happened. But nevertheless, they had something take place in their life that they know about. If you've not had something internal, then you don't have salvation, because it is an internal experience with the Lord. Salvation is not external. You can clean this flesh up all you want and still be lost. You can clean up the flesh all that you want. You can live as good as you want to live. You can do as many good things as you want to do and still be lost and separated from God and still be on your way to hell. And the Bible makes that very, very plain to us. Paul, in his writing to Titus, he said that it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, by that inward cleansing that takes place. Jesus told the Pharisees on one occasion, you can read about it in the 23rd chapter of Matthew, Jesus rebuked the Pharisees for what they believed and what they practiced, and he said, you clean up the outside of the cup and the platter, but within you are full of all uncleanness. You haven't changed within, and you can't do it. And neither can I. None of us can. We cannot change our very inward nature, can we? Job said we can't do it any more than the Ethiopian can change the color of his skin or the leopard change his spots. There's nothing that we can do to change ourselves. Friend, you can't save yourself. You can't do it. Only the Lord can do that. The works of righteousness, those things that are external, those are things that we are able to do. You know, we can get up. God has given us that ability. We can get up and we can go to church. We can go out and we can be nice to our neighbor. We can go and help our neighbor do something. We could do all sorts. We could carry all sorts of religious activity. Those are things that you and I are able to do because God has created us and made us able to do those things, and we can do them. But those things will never justify us in the sight of God. That's what he was talking about when he wrote to Titus. He said, it's not by anything that we have done, but it's according to his mercy that he saved us. How? Not externally, internally. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. When I was in Virginia years ago, doing mission work, I used to go out to the hospitals, and I would go there, and I thought it was a good way to meet people in the community, and also to try to give some care to people at the same time. And I would go there and I would visit the hospitals and I would go from room to room and I would go into to the people's room and I would introduce myself and I would tell them that I was a minister that lived there in the area and I would check on them and see, you know, how they were doing physically. And then I would ask them about their condition before the Lord. I would ask them about their soul. I found out that it was a really good way to witness to people because they couldn't get up and leave. They couldn't go anywhere. And I had some really good conversations with people in that way. But you know, I heard so many answers, sad answers. So many answers. I would ask somebody, have you been saved? And they would say, you know, some people told me that they had been saved for seven or eight times. I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm talking about things that are sad. Things that people have, that they believe or have either been duped into believing, you know, that are so far away from what the scriptures teach us that it what it means to be saved. And when these people would relate those things to me, I just didn't feel that spiritual connection with them. You know, I'm glad today that there are some of you here today that know exactly what I'm talking about. We got something in common, don't we? I mean, we've got something that will help us to relate to each other. There are a lot of people. I'm going to say there are a lot of religious people in the world today that I can't relate to. I mean, spiritually, I just cannot relate to them. But there are people here, seated here this morning, that my soul can hook up with, that my soul can connect with. I can hear your testimonies. And it's like my soul will unite with yours. What a beautiful thing the common salvation really is. And so I had been doing these hospital visits, and I would, you know, people were telling me all different types of things. And as I said, I just would not be able to relate to it. But I walked into this one lady's room, and I began to talk to her, and I asked her about her condition, and she said that she was there because that she had cancer. The cancer was really taking its toll on her. And I talked to her for a while, and I asked her, I said, have you been saved? And, you know, she was much different than the others were. And she looked at me, and before she even spoke, she began to weep. I mean, tears began to roll down her cheeks, and she said, oh, yes, I've been saved. And she began to tell me her experience, and before it was over, standing there in the hospital room, she was weeping and I was weeping and we were rejoicing. And I mean, it was just like our souls hooked up and just went right up. I'm glad I can relate to people, aren't you? I'm glad I got people that know what I've experienced. Glad I know people that know what I'm talking about. I want others to know it. Amen. I want others to know what it means to truly be born again by the Spirit of God. The natural man can't relate to it. That's what's wrong today, isn't it? I mean, that's what's lacking among religion so much. That's what's lacking. That sister that I was talking about in Virginia that told me that, she died before I left there, and I don't have any doubt. There's not a doubt in my mind. I never got to know her very well. I didn't get to know her for very long because it wasn't long after that I went to visit one day, and her husband greeted me at the door and said, she passed away. But I got no doubt in my mind that I'll see her again one of these days in a place where she won't have any cancer. The natural man can't relate to these things. And you know what? Listen, among the realm of religion today, there's too many people that are trying to, the natural man, perhaps would be the best way to put it, the natural man is trying to receive the things of God, and it cannot be done. It cannot be done. Listen to what Paul wrote about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. He said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. When I came to know the Lord, when I came into my relationship with the Lord, it did not take place by something that happened externally to me. It did not take place by something that happened to this natural man. In fact, listen, when the Lord got finished with me, when the Lord had saved my soul and got finished with me, my outward man was still sinful. I still had that Adamic nature. I still, in the outward man, I had the capability of sinning. But that inward man, God had touched it and God had cleansed it. Inwardly, he had done that for me. Salvation is spiritual. If it's not spiritual, it's nothing. It's nothing. It's either spiritual or it's nothing at all. Didn't Jesus tell us about those that had not done anything other than tried to receive the things of God in the natural man? Didn't he tell us what their end result would be? Did not Jesus say that in the day of judgment that they would stand and say, they would say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And Jesus will say to them, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never even knew you. Never even knew you. The natural man can't receive the things of God. They're foolishness to the natural man. If we didn't have something inward to really promote it, we wouldn't do anything that would honor God. If we didn't have something within to really drive us and to really motivate us, we wouldn't be able to do anything according to the truth. I'll tell you what, the born-again experience is the nucleus of all religion. Without it, it's nothing. Without it, it is of no avail. Everyone that's truly been saved. I've got one last verse of scripture I want to share with you today from 1 John 5 and 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. Whereat? In himself. But he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. If you are lost in unbelief, John wasn't literally saying that we turn God into a liar. That can't be done. When he said, he that believeth not maketh God a liar, we don't turn God into a liar. But listen, while we are in unbelief, while we are not believing the things of God, our unbelief is a testimony that we consider God to be lying to us. That's what John was saying. We're treating God, when we're in our unbelief, we're treating God as if he was a liar. And we know God never lies. God cannot lie. He cannot lie. God is truth. Everything he says is truth. And so you need to know him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. Everybody needs to experience that born-again experience. When we come together, we've been blessed with it here lately. When we come together, What an amazing thing it is to me when we come together, when we assemble, and the Lord begins to move among us. The Lord begins to, move us by His Spirit. And you see people begin to rejoice. Maybe one person begins to rejoice, and then somebody else begins to rejoice. And the next thing you know, we are feeling that connection. We are feeling that kindred spirit. We are feeling that common salvation that we had, because we know what it means to be born again by the Spirit of God. And don't ever be surprised. Don't ever be surprised when people that don't have it can't relate. Don't be surprised. Because you can't until you experience it. You just can't know that until you have experienced God's grace. But I'm sure thankful for my brothers and sisters. I'm thankful for people in the world. When I relate my testimony, when I say I've been born again by the Spirit of God, that the hand of God touched me and made me whole, I'm thankful for those that know what I'm talking about. And I would to God that everybody would have it. That's why the Lord came, so that everybody could have it. It's offered to everybody. I'm convinced of it. I mean, I am 100% convinced of it, that everybody that has been truly saved has had that spiritual experience with the Lord. Yours may have happened in a church service. Mine happened in the apartment where I lived. You may have got saved somewhere out on the farm or behind the barn or wherever that it may be. May have happened in all different places under all different kinds of situations. But I'll tell you what, everybody that's got it's got the same thing. We've got a common salvation. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace. We, in the aggregate sense, in the corporate sense, in the plural sense, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody that's been born again has that same peace with God. And I believe that we do have that connection and that kindred spirit that exists among us. And thank God for it. The common salvation. We ought to defend it, shouldn't we? Jude wrote about it, about the common salvation, and he exhorted them to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And you know what? For many years now, there's been somebody of people somewhere for many years now has been promoting to people that you must be born again. There's been people all around them that have justified themselves in all different types of ways, but there have been those people that have gone out from the Lord and have said, you need to be born again by the Spirit of God. Thank God for that. Thank God that the day came when it came to me. I thank God for the people that told me that I must be born again if I was ever going to be justified and be right in the sight of God. Thank Him for His truth. And I'm glad that we have that in common. You know, there's a lot of different things that we could have in common. We could all be rock and roll guitar players today, but what a sad life that'd be, wouldn't it? I mean, if that's all that we had, and I'm not trying to say that to cast a bad reflection on anything. I'm talking about the things of the world. If that's all that we had in common were the things of the world, how sad that would be. But we've got something in common that's so much greater, something that's spiritual, something that goes beyond just something that we do here in the flesh. We've got that spiritual connection, and thank God that we do.